Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Welcome back. Now for something a little different. While most of the experiments that scientists do are noble pursuits of higher knowledge, some might be described as quirky, odd, or just plain off the wall. Continuing our series on the role of experiments in science, we're joined by physicist and associate professor Shane Bergen from UCD. Thank you for joining us, Shane. I was taking a look last night at the IG Nobel Prizes. Tell us more. Is this kind of a sort of experiment in itself and trying to replicate a more serious Nobel Prize that we
yeah,
know from
they,
other?
They mirror on you the well-known Nobel Prizes, you know, for the so-called serious experiments. But scientists are human, so we love to have fun as much as anyone else. And a lot of the experiments that we do can have funny or quirky side effects. And the Ig Nobel Prizes are designed to recognise that. And they're awarded every year in Harvard for experiments that make you laugh and then make you think. And some of the examples of them are just wonderful, and they show the creativity that scientists and engineers have in order to do this work.
So scientists can have fun too. And I love, yeah, there's a little bit of the have your broccoli, but you can also have your chocolate. So a nice little counterbalance between it all. Right, let's get into some of the quirky experiments that you've been thinking about. An old one, but a good one. We've all debated about dunking a biscuit in tea, and is there an optimum way to do it?
There is, and I recognise for many listeners, this is complete heresy, right? It's a way to ruin tea and a biscuit. And we've all done this where you're holding your digestive and you're dipping it into the tea and it goes too far and you end up with sludge at the bottom of the cup and no one's happy. Scientists were awarded the Ig Nobel Prize in 1999, a long way back, for the optimum way to do this. I replicated it many years after that with undergraduate students myself. We had great fun. A lot of tea was had and many more biscuits. And it turns out that the logic here is to maximise the amount of tea that goes into the biscuit without the biscuit falling apart. So the biscuit's porous. When you stick it into the tea, it sucks up the liquid through something called capillary action. And they worked out that the best way to dunk your biscuit in tea, if you want to do it, is to do it at a very, very shallow angle. So you keep the top of the biscuit dry, the bottom of the biscuit wet, and it'll soak up as much tea as possible.
Surely some biscuits are just better quality than others for this experiment.
They are. And when we replicated it, the students became very creative looking at the effects of having a chocolate coating. And of course, they wanted to keep testing more and more expensive biscuits that I had to provide for them. But yes, you're right. Different coatings will result in sort of different amounts of structural integrity. But I encourage everyone to try this at home today. There are many other Ig Nobel Prizes given in this area. People more recently worked out, you know, the way when you're walking with your cup of tea to sit down, sometimes it can slosh over the side of the cup. They figured that this is due to something called resonance. The act of walking causes the liquid to move. An Ig Nobel Prize was given to work out the best way to do it. And strangely, it's actually to walk backwards with your cup of tea.
We'd never get to work that way, Shane.
We wouldn't. And I think it would end in far many more disasters, you know.
Tell us also then about when we drop toast, and we've all done it, and we don't need a degree in science to know that it generally lands butter side down. Why is that?
Well, it's Murphy's Law, isn't it? You know, if it can't happen, it will. But there are a couple of technical reasons that resulted in the 1995 Nobel Prize or Ig Nobel Prize. And they found that it comes down to two things. One is the fact that the toast has different surface properties on either side. The butter side is smooth. And the other one is the height from which the toast falls. So you think of the average height of a table. When the toast comes off it or the plate, it doesn't have enough height for it to do a full rotation. So because of gravitational forces, when it comes and it slips, it's going to start turning and it won't have enough time for it to turn fully. Incidentally, it's the same reason why cats, when they fall from rather taller buildings, have a higher chance of surviving than if they fall from a first or second story building. They don't have enough time to turn, or they do have enough time to turn so they can land on their paws.
Excellent. Well, that finally makes sense once and for all for me now. Tell us about how you collect whale snot.
Yeah, this is brilliant. 2010, before the drone was invented, scientists were using remote helicopters to try and learn a little bit about sick whales. And so I'm really glad that people are interested in sick whales because their health is as important as any other animal. But as you know, they're huge and they live in the ocean. So trying to get near them to get a sample is very tricky. Enter these in very clever scientists. What they did was they got the remote control helicopter and they dangled from it a kind of like flypaper, something very sticky. They flew the helicopter over the blowhole of the whale. So yes. When it expelled air and mucus, it was there to catch it and get it back to the lab and understand what was ailing the poor whale and trying to figure out could they help it or not. I think this is just remarkable.
That's real dedication to animal welfare. And staying in the animal kingdom, tell us about chimps recognising others from photos.
Yeah, and particular types of photos. The 2012 Ig Nobel Prize went to a very kind of quirky scientist for doing a study with six chimpanzees. And he realised that chimpanzees were as accurate at knowing their friends from pictures of their backsides as they were from their faces. So the chimps were able to match like go fish. They were able to match the faces of their friends with their friends' backsides. Remarkable. But like when you think about it, and he wrote about this in the paper, incidentally, all of these have been published in peer reviewed journals, like to the highest standards of science. When you think about it, chimps tend to be looking at their friends as they're climbing up trees, right? So the bit of their friends that they're seeing may well be their backsides. Hasn't been replicated on other animals yet. So we'll watch this space.
See if there's further peer reviews. What of our mice who were recovering from heart transplants? Did they make it into any peer-reviewed papers?
They did. It turns out that when you... So mice are often used as so-called models. We want to understand how things might work in medicine. We work with animal models before human. Of course, this is all subject to extreme rigorous ethical review. So these mice had heart transplants, which sounds very cute in one way, but they were looking at how they might recover from the heart transplant, and they played music to them, different types of music. They found out that those who listened to Verdi's La Traviata, which is a bit rousing, survived 27 days. Unfortunately for our Irish friend, Enya was bottom of the list, and the mice only lasted 11 days. And so this is sort of indicative of the importance of the environment in which we are in when we're recovering from like significant surgeries.
Okay, to another species. So the woodpeckers, famed for using their beaks to hammer into trees. Do they get headaches?
They don't. And if you're lucky enough to live near a woodpecker, and they are spreading across Ireland, by the way, at the moment, from east to west, you'll hear this rap, rap, rap sound when they are in the breeding season. It's a way of attracting a mate. They can be hammering a piece of wood to make a home and to attract a mate. And they can be doing this like a lot during a day, like a lot. And ornithologists, those who study birds, were trying to figure out, well, why is it that they don't get concussed? If you or I were to hit our heads, we could be taken off to hospital for the slightest bump. And it's taken very seriously. They discovered that there are three significant components here. One is they have thick muscles in their neck, so the force is able to be dissipated to the body. The other is that they have a special eyelid, right? A third eyelid that actually prevents their eyes from popping out when they peck, because they peck with such force that they could detach their retinas. And the third one is they have spongy material in their heads that protects the brain when they whack the tree. Isn't that just remarkable?
Amazing. finally, given we're all hopeful of improved weather, what's the best way to light a barbecue according to scientists, Shane?
Yeah, the chemists were cheating here by virtue of what they had in their lab. In 1996, the chemistry Ig Nobel Prize went for the best way to light a barbecue. They found it's using charcoal and something called liquid oxygen, which your listeners might know is rocket fuel. Woodies do not sell it.
And on staying with humankind, what's one of the optimal ways to consider decisions we want to make in life, according to the scientists, Shane?
Well, it's actually to need to pee. So a study has found that when you need to pee, you can actually make better decisions.
OK, there we go. We will take that one as the final takeaway. Thank you for that, Dr. Shane Bergen from UCD School of Education.